Hey, everybody, I'm Heather Dubrow.
And I'm Dr. Terry Dubrow.
Every Friday, check out my podcast, Heather Dubrow's World.
We also have a brand new show, The Dr. and Mrs. Guinea Pig Show, every Tuesday.
So don't forget iTunes and Podcast One. Tune in to Dr. and Mrs. Guinea Pig on Tuesdays and Heather Dubrow's World every Friday.
Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's a guy who wishes he could be nearly as successful as Ty finding the idols when he goes looking for the Apple TV remote. It's so small. It's so hard to find. Rob Cisternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast voicemail edition. Ready to talk with Jessica Lease, my Amazing Race podcast co-host, who was on a maternity leave, which ended up becoming an Amazing Race leave because Amazing Race wasn't on the air the entire fall. But Jessica Lease will be back with me to talk about Survivor. We actually talked about the Amazing Race last week on robhasawebsite.com. You could check out our Amazing Race podcast in the Amazing Race podcast feed or on reality TV Rehap Ups. We have our second one coming up very shortly, so be on the lookout for that here today. So we've got so much to get into on a very, very busy Survivor week. It's been a very busy day for me between everything from last night with Survivor Know-It-Alls. Then this morning, I was off to the CBS Interactive to go and get my exit interview with Sandra. And then I stepped in as host this week on CBS Facebook's Beyond the Buff, where I talked with not only Sandra Diaz-Twine, but I also talked with John Cochran, who was there in person, and Joshua Morrow of The Young and the Restless, which I, in my earlier conversation with Denise, said that he was on The Bold and the Beautiful. I got my CBS soap operas crossed up, so apologies to any listeners who are fans of those shows, and especially to Joshua Morrow, who was a very nice guy and was a very big Survivor fan and very excited to talk about the show with us. So my apologies there. A retraction already at the start of this podcast. Of course, if you missed any of those shows and want to make sure that that does not happen again in the future, subscribe to the podcast, robhasawebsite.com/iTunes. And of course, we'll be doing the same thing next week with The Wiggle Room returning, with Why Sandra Lost with David Bloomberg, all coming up in the next couple of days on Rob Has a Podcast. Before we get into my conversation with Jessica, let me take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast, and those are our friends over at CISO. Comedy nerds, you can rejoice because CISO has the comedy you crave with the debut season of Shrink, an original series on CISO, plus more of your favorite comedians, including Paul F. Tompkins, Dan Harmon, the McElroy brothers, Jonah Ray, the UCB Four with Amy Poehler, Matt Bessler, Ian Roberts, and Matt Walsh in a hilarious knee-slapping CISO original series. With CISO, you get unlimited access to CISO original series, next day, late night, hilarious stand-up specials, binge-worthy classics, and more. The critically acclaimed new half-improvised, half-scripted comedy series, Shrink. They've got the debut TV series from My Brother, My Brother and Me's The McElroy Brothers, an animated fantasy role-playing game starring Dan Harmon and hilarious famous comedian guests. CISO's the home for all your favorite comedy, Britcoms, stand-up specials, bingeable classics, and more, plus British comedies like The IT Crowd and Monty Python, or classics like The Kids in the Hall and Parks and Rec, every episode of SNL, late night TV. You can access CISO content from anywhere, anytime you want with iOS, Android, Roku, Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, Windows, or Xbox One. It's the only thing that could have made Debbie's exile better is if she also had CISO. Best of all, CISO is just $3.99 a month. No joke, $3.99 per month for all the comedy you want, anytime, anywhere, ad-free. Just go to CISO.com. That's CISO.com right now to sign up for 1 month free with promo code RHAP at checkout. That's CISO.com, CISO.com, promo code RHAP, CISO.com, promo code RHAP. All right, everybody, I'm very excited to bring this guest back to the podcast. It has been quite some time since we've been able to talk Survivor once again. Here she is back, not only with me on the voicemail podcast, but also talking about the amazing race here on robiswebsite.com. Please welcome back new mom, Jessica Leese.
I'm so happy to be back, Rob.
Yes, yes. Jess, it is very nice to get the podcast with you again, that we did talk about the Amazing Race premiere last week, and I feel like you haven't lost a step.
Yeah, it's, if anything, I think I'm a little punchier. You know, lack of sleep will do that to you.
Yes. You know, Tyson once told me that he became funnier when he stayed awake 24 hours straight.
Yeah, I think Tyson is onto something there.
Now, I can tell you that my wife is actually much less funny the less that she sleeps. So it's not true for everybody.
Well, I don't know about that. I think Nicole is probably very funny all of the time.
Well, you have to say that, but I can tell you that's not the case. Yeah, Jess, it's been just over a year since we did the voicemails that you were last on the voicemail show on March 11th, 2016. So it was just about a year and 2 or 3 weeks. Do you remember which episode that was?
I honestly can't even remember which season that was at this point.
Okay, so it was a polarizing week. It was, I believe, the Beast Mode Cowboy Medevac episode.
It was the Alicia boot, wasn't it?
Well, that's one and the same. That was a double boot episode. So, okay, we're both right. So we had Beast Mode Cowboy went out, but then the big controversy that week was the bullying that went on with Alicia and everything happening with her and Kyle Jason and Scott Pollard and stuff like that. So yeah, that was the last time we talked. So hopefully we have a lot more fun things to discuss, even including the vote out of Sandra.
I'm just glad we don't have anything like heavy and controversial this episode. It's just a lot of, I think the biggest controversy is it's directly tied into how you feel about Sandra as a player. And that's not something that people go on the internet and tweet mean things at you about.
Right.
I don't think
the fan base was very upset over the treatment of Alicia at that point in time. And there was a lot of serious topics that we were talking about. Luckily, this week is a lot lighter in terms of the subject matter, even though we are seeing the first time of a torch being snuffed for a 2-time winner of the game.
I mean, that's upsetting, but it's also, this is pure Survivor.
Yes.
We're not, the real world isn't seeping into this, and that's kind of how I like my Survivor.
Okay, good. Well, we don't need to revisit that too much. People can go back and listen to that podcast if they want.
Or not.
Get back
or never.
Into it. So, Jess, how's everything going? Could you give us the update for people that did not catch you on the Amazing Race wrap-up last week?
Everything is going great in my world. I'm back into the reality TV coverage saddle, as it were. I'm covering Amazing Race for you. I'm covering Survivor and Amazing Race over at previously.tv. And I have a very awesome little boy who is 6 months old today.
Yes. Okay. Well, congratulations on all of that, Jess. If people are looking for the Amazing Race coverage, we did put the premiere podcast in the RHAP main feed, but that is going to be in our Amazing Race feed at robiswebsite.com/TAR podcast or in our Rehapups feed as well. So there's a lot of stuff going on. So just trying to reorganize things a little bit along the way. So be on the lookout for that. And Jess and I are going to have our second episode of the Amazing Race. I don't know. I keep wanting to call it Blind Date Edition, but that was actually 2 seasons ago, and that was only half blind dates. But whatever this version is with all strangers, then I'm just going to call it Amazing Race Perfect Strangers.
I think that's ideal, and then you know we could even have somebody do a fan edit of the opening credits with the Perfect Strangers theme song
with us in the video, or can I just play that as the entrance music for the podcast?
I think you can play it as the entrance music.
Standing top. Okay. Nobody knows what I'm talking
about. I was going to suggest you get Shut Up Tim to write some new lyrics and just sing them over the top. But
okay. Shut Up Tim. You're on it. All right. So let's get into talking some Survivor, Jess. Real quick, do you want to give us your feelings on the departure of Sandra? Were you a big Sandra supporter?
I love Sandra. I think Sandra is one of the greatest, if not the greatest player ever to play the game. I've enjoyed watching her through 2 seasons and change, and I knew she was not long for this game And so it was just a joy to have her on as long as she was. And I think, you know, we'll get into it. There are some things that I wish she had done differently, but I think ultimately there was no path to a three-peat for her. So that she lasted 16 days is remarkable.
When was the point that you officially became a Sandra fan? Was it as early as Pearl Islands, or was it some point during Heroes versus Villains?
It was absolutely Pearl Islands. I think the moment that I fully like embraced Sandra and became a Fandra, as it were, might be the Dead Grandma episode during the challenge where they had their loved ones out like on that plank walking thing. And Sandra's not buying the Dead Grandma lie for a minute. And she gets a question right, and she gets to point at one of the loved ones to take a step closer to walking the plank. And she just has this, like, stone-cold look on her face, and she says, and she points directly at Thunder D, and she says, "Fair plays, buddy."
Right. And
it was amazing.
And Lil is like, "Oh, Sandra, come on." It's like, no, no. She was, like, not buying that at all. Yeah, I have to say, I probably, in Survivor Pearl Islands, I did not think of her in that way. But I had a weird experience with Survivor Pearl Islands where I didn't really get to watch it like a normal person. So I went to go play Survivor All-Stars during the airing of Survivor Pearl Islands. So I never really quite got that story one time straight through until we did the Evolution of Strategy. I got those episodes videotaped for me and I watched them, but I think like my brother like didn't tape one of them, and I sort of like, I might have even watched like one of them out of order. So, and it was a little bit of a lot to sort of like reassimilate back into my life. And I may have not been paying super close attention to it and absorbing it in real time. So I didn't get the full Sandra experience until Heroes versus Villains.
Well, I think everybody would excuse you for being a little burned out on Survivor.
Yeah,
at that point.
I wasn't like, I love Survivor so much back when I got home from Survivor All-Stars in December of 2003.
I forgive you for that, Rob.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that the episode that my brother didn't record was your favorite Rhino's Boot episode.
Ah.
Which I think is also one of the most boring episodes, too.
It is. It is not the most riveting of television. But that was a season, like, I would say a bad episode of Pearl Islands is probably better than a good episode of some of these other seasons.
No, it's a great season. It's a great, great season. I was just that I'm totally owning that this is my own personal thing. And it was very fun. And I'm very connected to Heroes versus Villains because that was the first season that I was doing Rob as a podcast. So for me, that was really when Sandra clicked and to become a fan of what she's been doing in the game, even though somehow she thinks that I have been talking smack about her, Jess.
Yeah, I heard that. I couldn't recall the particular moment where I thought you were doing that either, but there's a lot of Survivor coverage out there. She could be conflating your podcast with somebody else's.
That has happened before.
I believe I've heard other survivors doing that, and I think you and I may have even been the recipient of that over on that other podcast.
Yes, that happens sometimes, and that would be an interesting game if we can ever figure out who Sandra thinks I am in terms of what was said. It might just be confusing me and Stephen Fishback.
Well, that's probably also true.
But I don't even think he said what she accused me of saying, of accusing, is Sandra a game changer?
Yeah, I think Stephen.
Or Sandra
is
not a game changer. I may have asked that question to a guest, but I never said the word Sandra is not a game changer.
Yeah, I think you might have asked somebody else. I think that was specifically what she was accusing you of, like asking everybody else if she's a game changer. I think you might have done it once, and that, I mean, you know how it is, Rob. Somebody says something negative about you on the internet, and all of a sudden, anytime, it takes like 100 people saying something nice to make up for the one time. And then all you can think of is that one terrible time somebody said something that you didn't agree with.
Okay. All right. Well, let's start off with a question appropriately from the man who did our preseason preview podcast about Sandra. And that would be Paul Aslison, one of the biggest Sandra supporters. He has a question about Sandra's influence on another player. Here is Paul.
Hey, Rob and Jess. It's Paul Aslison calling from Montana. I could be crying right now about the exit of Sandra from Survivor, but instead I'm choosing to celebrate her Survivor life for how sneaky, social, and strategic it was. But now that Sandra is out of season 34, I want to talk a little bit about Aubrey. We heard Aubrey say in this episode that she could learn a few things from Sandra. Is this a good sign for Aubrey? And what realistically can Aubrey take from Sandra's playbook that could lead Aubrey to a survivor victory? Adios. And remember, the queen stays queen.
Let's talk about Aubrey, because I got the sense that Sandra did not really like her time with Aubrey. That feeling may have been mutual. I think that Sandra throwing the co-wrong three under the bus also was part of that, that she did not feel like that she could work with Aubrey. So do you think that Aubrey took anything away from Sandra? She was pretty complimentary in the episode about you guys are good.
Yeah, I think Aubrey is such a cipher this season. Like, honestly, she played such a great game her first time out that it's really strange to me to see her always on the wrong side of everything this time around and seeing to have such kind of prickly relationships with so many people. I think the main thing that Aubrey could take away from this experience playing the game with Sandra is I think she could be this incarnation of Aubrey could be very, very good for the as long as it's not me strategy.
Well, yeah, she could be in a position where people are not super worried about her, even though she did come into this game as somebody that everybody was talking about. It has not gone well, where she's sort of been in like that Spencer Bledsoe 1.0 Charlie Brown role, where every time she goes to kick the football, somebody's ripping it away from her.
Yeah, she seems to have this knack for like becoming, I think, you were talking about it on one of the three or four podcasts I've listened to in the last 24 hours trying to play catch up about how she is the sidekick and how she's kind of picked the wrong people to be sidekicks with pretty much every single time.
Either that or she's the cooler.
Yeah, that could be too.
I mean, the history of being Aubrey's number one has not been a great one for a Neil Gottlieb, for a Joe Del Campo, for a Malcolm, for a JT.
Basically, what we're learning from this is that you pretty much don't want to align with Aubrey.
If you're a man. You want Cindy, it worked pretty good for.
I guess it did. That's true.
That was a good relationship. Like somebody who can be sort of like, you know, we always talk about the JT Steven combo. Does she need that type of person that could sort of like balance her out?
Well, you know, maybe she needs to be the linchpin in this, in one of these fabled girls alliances.
Okay. I like that. But what women is she going to work with? It seems like that she doesn't get along great with Michaela. She doesn't get along great with Sandra. I mean, that there are a number of women over on this new tribe that she's on with Brad and Troyzan. There is Michaela, who is not an ally, Sari, Sierra, and Haley.
Now, I could see her finding some common ground to some of these people.
Yeah. Well, she didn't really have common ground, I don't think, with Haley the first time, and certainly not with Michaela. So now it comes down to Sari and Sierra.
Yeah, I could see someone like Aubrey, who seems to have studied the game, could certainly feel some reverence for Sari, kind of the same way Zeke did.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see her, like, she's of a similar age with Sierra. I don't know what Sierra has in common with anybody in this game, to be honest. So that could work just as well as anything.
Yeah.
But really, I think Aubrey's best hope is to kind of lay low until the merge and see how things shake out at that point.
We'll keep our fingers crossed for Aubrey. Do you think that she is the person who gets targeted if that group goes to a tribal council? Or do you think she can turn it around?
Anything is possible. I think there's a lot of strong personalities in this group, and there's a lot of kind of random pair bonds at odds with each other. And I think there are a lot of bigger threats. So I think if she stays out of everybody's way, they could just forget she's there.
It's a complicated scenario there, just looking at sort of like where the votes are going, because you have Brad and Sierra, who've been together the whole time. They're sort of like the hub of everything. They've been in the same place like three different times, sort of like how Steven and Jeremy were, you know, kept getting swapped with each other. And Kimmy was also with those two guys starting off. And then you have people like Troyzan, who seems like he's in good with Brad and with Sierra. But then you have some of the other women who are sort of like loose ends, where Sari was at Nuku with Brad, but we don't know necessarily what their relationship is like. And Haley was with them, but she was kind of on the outs with Brad at the combined tribal council. So yeah, that could be a very complicated vote.
Yeah, I think it could be. I think there's always going to be, I think that's another lesson that Aubrey could probably take from Sandra, is that there's always going to be a bigger target than Aubrey.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, let's keep going. And the other big news from last night's episode was that Survivor, for the first time ever, brought in a mentor to talk to a player. Morgan has a question about where this could go from here. Here is Morgan Stradling.
Hey, Rob, this is Morgan Stradling. With the return of Cochran as a non-player back into the game, it sets a precedent that I imagine we'll see more of in future seasons. So I have two questions for you. One, who do you think production will bring back? And two, who would you like to see back?
Okay, Jess. First off, did you like the twist to bring Cochran into the mix?
Well, I did and I didn't. I think it's got potential. I think it was dumb to do it in a returning player season.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I think that it would have a lot more punch if they brought Cochran back to a season where there were a lot of fans and people that would really kind of respect him as something other than, you know, this twerp who played the same game as me one time. And that said, I think there were people that could have wound up on that yacht that would have had a really interesting connection with Cochran.
Well, in fairness to Cochran, that Debbie seemed very excited to have Cochran show up there. You know, she has been in the presence of presidents and prime ministers, and she's not easily impressed. But Cochran was somebody that she was really blown away by.
I'm surprised we didn't get like a little crawl with that, like, under her name as her occupation.
What, a greeter of presidents and prime ministers?
Yeah, sure.
I think that that would be a very interesting Forrest Gump-like adventure to take a walk through the life of Debbie. I mean, which presidents do you think that she met?
Well, she didn't say what they were the president of.
Like the president of her condo association?
Yeah, I mean, there could be that. And
if it was a U.S. president, which U.S. president do you think would be the most likely to have met Debbie?
The U.S. president most likely to have met Debbie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to make up some fan fiction here.
Yeah. Give us some historical fan fiction.
Elementary school aged Debbie wrote a letter to President Gerald Ford.
Okay.
Probably about foreign relations, or maybe she wrote to President Carter about the oil embargo or something like that. And she wrote an eloquent letter that got her invited to the White House. And her first little career bullet point was, you know, award-winning presidential letter writer. She gets the photo op. She gets to meet like one of these 1970s presidents. And that's the president that she greeted.
This is like Debbie Days of Future Past.
I'm going to say she met President Ford and she wrote him a letter about how proud she was that he
Haley
took
Ford?
The high road. Yes, President Haley Ford. This is like future Debbie.
Yeah, well, Sarah Lucina once said she's the president right now. Did she meet Sarah Lucina? Was that what it was?
There's time travel fan fiction in here somewhere.
Which survivor goes on to become president? That's who Debbie met. And a prime minister also.
Yeah, well, maybe one of them becomes prime minister of something.
Okay.
Like, I don't think you can be the prime minister of your condo association, though.
No, definitely not yet at this point. All right. So I really agree with what you have to say. I think that a first-time player would be really impressed to meet one of the alumni in that spot, especially we have so many super-duper fans in the past. Like, if you can imagine one of, like, the people from, like, Millennials versus Gen X meeting Cochran, that they might be, like, a Price is Right contestant in that spot. But you don't like the idea of Cochran specifically? Because I actually think it was a pretty good choice, because I think a lot of the other people that you would bring in for that spot may not be able to articulate what they're trying to say about the game, where there's a lot of people, like if it was Joe Anglim, you know, for what he brings to the table, how's he going to tell you to do anything? You know, if it's Russell Hantz, I mean, what piece of advice is he going to give? We saw what advice he was giving Caleb before the season. I don't know if there's that many other players that would be able to have a conversation with you about the game.
Well, Rob, this is where I think I can fix that for you.
Okay.
I've been thinking about this all day, actually, because I knew this was going to come up. And here's my pitch. And maybe we need to save this for Survivor Think Tank. But my pitch is, when you win this particular honor. I wouldn't even call it winning, but you get sent to exile and you get sent to like the palatial yacht with the feast and everything. You don't just get Cochrane. You don't just get like Boston Rob or whoever. You get like a veritable Jedi council.
Okay.
Of past survivors are there on the yacht, and you can choose who gives you advice. And you can choose wisely. You could choose Cochrane, who probably does have some pretty good insight. And it seems like he actually kind of steered Debbie in a direction that's probably good for her game. Or you could be like, oh my God, Joe Anglim, I'm so excited to talk about the game with you. And then Joe gives you advice that means pretty much nothing. And then you get to go back to the game with that. And having like having kind of a multiple choice there, like having a whole group of ex-survivors also kind of increases the odds that if you are maybe someone who never saw the show before you went on it, there might be someone you recognize from one of the DVDs that CBS gave you while you were in sequester.
So you like the idea that do you want to have like sort of like a booby prize? Like Zane Knight is also one of the people that he might like give really like I don't really know who any of these people are, but this guy looks fun.
Yeah, there's that too. Like, get someone there who's like just a patently terrible player.
Right. Some, I'm not going to list off people that I think are terrible players, but that's a fun idea. That is a fun idea. And then everybody can like make fun of the person who picks somebody who's going to be a bad mentor.
Yeah. Yeah. And also when you get back after you've had this experience and you tell the other survivors what you saw and experienced while you were out there, nobody's ever going to believe you.
Yeah, that's true. Now, this is a bit of a production nightmare to bring multiple survivors out there for this one scene. Is there any way that we could do this with Skype? We sort of like have like a catalog of like, here's, 30 different people that you can pick from and then do a one-on-one, or is this getting really low rent?
Well, this could be like an individual reward at that point, like the reward winner gets to choose out of the catalog to Skype with somebody. But, survivors are thirsty, Rob. Some of them might come of their own volition, as I think we learned this week.
Yeah. So some of the survivors, they will pull the move where...
And we'll just show up.
Okay. So this is the thing. Now we're just going to invite all of the survivors. Is this like a thing where we just sort of like put the announcement out there, save the date, come to Fiji on this day and you might be on TV and we see how many hundred survivors show up?
I would be interested to see that because I think someone would show up thinking that they'd be allowed to play the game.
Right. There's going to be some of them that are like, oh, they'll definitely put us in the game.
Or, just let people do it remotely. Like, here's the question, Rob. If you had the option to maybe be part of the catalog and maybe get to Skype with someone who's in the game and give them advice, is that something you'd be interested in doing?
Yeah, what would be the downside?
I guess there's no
downside. Especially if I got the Skype. I was talking with Cochran about this, that he said, Cochran said he was there for 5 hours. Like, he said it was like a nightmare to get there, and then he was there 5 hours, and then he was back on the plane the same day.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably okay for some people, but, I know for
you...
It
was not okay for him, by the way. He was not happy with that trip. It'd be interesting. I mean, I don't know what the downside would be in terms of, like, best case scenario is you're on the show, worst case scenario is you're, sitting by the phone one day.
Yeah, I guess it's just like being a lifeline for Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Yeah, I think it's good.
So,
lifeline.
Survivor phone a friend.
Yeah, I like it.
All right. Is it going to Samoa?
I mean, it's just so low rent to be Skyping with people. I mean, we were doing this back in Survivor, the Australian Outback, I feel like.
Yeah, but internet has gotten so much better now.
I know. You know what? I don't even think in Survivor, the Australian Outback, I think that they were like only doing like AOL Instant Messenger in Survivor, the Australian Outback. And they had like a camera person filming them at their house. I think by Survivor Vanuatu, they did a thing where they were like Skype with their relatives, but they were actually on the island and they brought them out.
Yeah, I vaguely remember that. Yeah.
So it's just, we're too far away from what the spirit of Survivor is at this point.
Okay. Well, how about my Jedi Council, though? Like, how about we just bring a dozen survivors and you can either choose to chat with one individually or you can party with all 12 of them and see what you get.
I just think that we're getting too distracted from the game at that point. I think it's just like eating up way too much time. Like I could see this in the Big Brother house where we sort of like have 3 hours a week. But I saw people were even complaining people complain about everything. But, you know, that we spent a lot of time with this on Sandra's Boot episode. We didn't get to see what was going on at the other camp. So I don't know how much time you want to devote to hanging out with the Survivor Dream Team.
It depends on how boring your season is.
So. And in some seasons, this would be a, you know, a well-deserved distraction.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, in fairness, that was my chief complaint about this episode as well, was that this was Sandra's Boot episode and we wasted 10 minutes talking to a guy that's not even playing the game this season.
I did like it, but I can understand the complaint about not getting to see a lot of. I mean, I feel like that we saw a lot at that camp. I feel like if anything, we didn't get to see a lot of the other camp besides what Brad and Troy Zan were talking about.
Yeah, and you know, I think I've got a threshold when it comes to those two.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm sure we'll get back to that. So this is a question overall about the season and an interesting one to think about. This is from Andy in LA.
Hey, what's up? It's Andy in LA. With such a star-studded pre-jury, will this be the first season in forever where everyone actually gets a question at the reunion? Actually, Cochran will probably get more than all of them ever. Okay, later.
Jess, do you think this season is trending for everybody to be getting a question at the reunion?
I think we're well past that. I don't think we do that anymore.
I think they did it during Survivor Blood versus Water. I do think that they hit that. I wonder also if in Survivor Cambodia, they also got that, especially with Vetus not being in the mix. I think that made that a little bit of an easier target.
Yeah, but I also think like if somebody doesn't show up for the reunion and then everybody else gets a question, that kind of shines a spotlight on the person that's not there.
So you think that there will be a number of survivors that don't get a question at this reunion?
I hope they all get to sit on the stage, to be honest. That only happened once.
That only happened one time.
Yeah, but who knows? They could bring it back at any point and it would be a bad
they
idea.
They won't do they that did. For all stars. And they're not going to have Tony and Sandra and Malcolm not be sitting on the stage. If anything, they might not let the jury sit on the stage.
Fair point. But I do think we are kind of past the point where, like in those early seasons when Jeff Probst would have to come up with something for everybody.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, I think what's over under 3.5 survivors don't get a question at the finale.
That's fair. I would even go higher than that. But you raise the good point that a lot of the people that he would normally be asking a lot of questions of are already out of the game.
Yeah, I think that the one person so far that we have to look at is Beast Mode Cowboy getting a question.
Beast Mode Cowboy is definitely getting a question.
Okay.
Because everybody loves him for some reason.
Well, do they still love him for some reason on Survivor?
You know, I'm surprised they loved him after the last time.
Yeah, but you didn't really hear that sort of chorus after he went out. Like, oh my God, Caleb is so great. We got to get him back again.
I was more like, I'm concerned for your health and I'm glad you didn't die, but I don't need to see you play Survivor again.
All right, well, let's get back to another question. And I want to ask you about the idea of potentially throwing this immunity challenge, would it have helped anybody? There's a question from Natalie.
Hey guys, it's Natalie from Australia. So with the immunity challenge, you know how the losing tribe votes someone out and then they get Debbie to replace that person? I was just wondering, do you think there's anyone in either tribe who would actually benefit from having the opportunity to vote somebody out and then having Debbie rejoin their tribe? Do you think that would benefit anyone's game? And if so, were they actually sabotaging that immunity challenge? Love to hear your thought.
Now, I don't think anybody was sabotaging that immunity challenge, but can you think of anybody that it would have been in their best interest to throw that immunity challenge?
If there was somebody on the previous Orange Tribe who was trying to mount some sort of counteroffensive against Brad Culpepper, I could see that person maybe potentially wanting to get Debbie in on that.
Like a Haley Ford. That's interesting.
I could see Haley wanting Debbie in so she'd have the extra vote to mount something against Brad Culpepper. But I also don't necessarily think you really stick your neck out to get somebody as volatile as Debbie back into the game.
Maybe somebody that it also did benefit was Ty. I know that Ty has at least, you know, had a decent relationship with Debbie, that he's also from Korong. And then you get rid of Sandra, somebody who he wanted to get rid of anyway. And then Debbie comes into the game. Again, I don't think anybody is thinking about it in these terms. We've talked about this going back to in Survivor Panama, where they had something similar, where whoever loses the first challenge, they were going to get somebody. And you ended up having where Kasaya ended up getting Bruce on their team. And he was actually like a pretty strong guy. I think they did the same thing with Sylvia back in Fiji. And we have, of course, you know, Julia Sokolowski also coming into the game. But I think it would be very interesting if you got somebody who was like a really amazing challenge performer in that spot.
Yeah, like if we had Ozzy, first of all, like Ozzy and Cochran out on the yacht would be super awkward. And yeah, I kind of love to see it. But you have Ozzy out there and suddenly you have the both of the competing tribes kind of fighting it out to see who gets Ozzy.
Yeah, it would be really like interesting. And you get Ozzy by losing. So it's like, you would anybody have left the mat?
Yeah, like everybody's just trying to tank the challenge.
That would have been really fun to see it play out that way. Just that Cochran-Ozzy reunion would have been so interesting to see, because you have where Cochran and Ozzy kind of had like this mentor-mentee at least sort of structure, not necessarily that relationship that Cochran definitely did end up having that with Coach in South Pacific. But Cochran was the rookie back in South Pacific. Ozzy was the leader of the tribe. And imagine how humbling it would be for Ozzy to say, all right, Ozzy, here's your chance to pick Cochran's brain. And I think that that would have been really just a very fun scene to watch how that would have played out.
It would have been pretty awkward, because I feel like maybe the person who's even less likely to take advice offered to them from Cochran than Debbie would probably be Ozzy.
When the student has become the teacher, I don't know how the teacher would react to that.
I think Ozzy would probably just go hit the bar.
Yeah, I don't know if he would have like, all right, whatever, Cochran. Okay, so he might have listened to him as much as he did back in Survivor South Pacific. All right, let's go back and take another question. Speaking of Ozzy, here is a question from Brendan from DC. He wants to know about getting Sandra out of the game.
Hey, Rob and Jessica, it's Brendan from DC. I have a question about Ozzy. Can Ozzy claim credit for the move to get Sandra out more than anyone else on the tribe? And if so, is this the best move of Ozzy's entire Survivor career? Discuss. Thanks. Bye.
How much of the credit do you want to lay at the feet of Ozzy? I know Stephen Fishback gave Zeke a fishy. So do you say Ozzy was the key cog here?
Well, I think, first of all, I don't know that this was... I'm more inclined to be on Steven's team on this one. I think Zeke is at least shown as having a little bit more of the social credit. But honestly, this was not a strategic, like, this did not require a lot of strategic finessing. They had the numbers. All they had to do was just kind of maintain the status quo through tribal council and make sure Sandra didn't make any inroads.
Yeah.
So I don't think it was a feat of strategic genius to get her out at this point. I think the game did a lot of the work for them.
Yeah, in terms of this being Ozzy's move to send her home, the one area that I do think that he held a lot of influence was the idea of, did Ty have the hidden immunity idol? And Sandra talked about this in her exit interview. She said that Zeke was saying stick to the plan, but Ozzy was really concerned that Ty was going to write his name down and that if the votes went against Ty, he was going to play an idol and Ozzy was going to get sent out of the game here with no Redemption Island, where Ozzy could end up coming back. So I think that that part was important to Ozzy, but I think that Zeke was probably more of the point person making sure it was happening.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
I think that Zeke was like the house whip on that.
All right.
Whipping up the votes.
Yes.
Making sure everybody was there too. So I don't know if I'd call this the best move of Ozzy's career. Do you have anything that you would point to as the best move of Ozzy's Survivor career?
Honestly, I think Ozzy is not as strategically bad as some people tend to portray him.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say, actually, I think the best strategic move that Ozzy ever made was breaking Redemption Island.
Yes, when he voted himself out and then came back?
Yeah, when he did that twice, like, I was kind of impressed by that. Like, he took a look at the scenario and he said, what's the easiest path for me to get as far as possible? And what's going to help my tribe in this instance is sending me to Redemption Island, and basically ends up breaking the whole format.
That probably was the best, even though I really questioned the wisdom of it at the time, that he was confident and for a good reason, because it all worked out for him, at least going there the second time.
In fairness, the bulk of Ozzy's survivor strategy is, like, I'd say his survivor strategic game is basically 90% be really, really good at challenges.
Well, he set up very, very well here, Jess, to make a deep run, because now look at all these alpha males that are out of the game. I mean, who are his biggest threats in these challenges? I mean, you have Brad and Troyzan for the men, and then I guess like Andrea and Sarah Lucina for the women. But I feel like I like Ozzy's chances just about every time out. I think that you probably give him better than 50% odds almost no matter what the challenge is going to be.
I don't know. Debbie can do a lot of push-ups.
I guess so. A push-up contest. Maybe you say Ozzy doesn't have the advantage. But short of that, he's looking pretty good.
Yeah, I like his chances. He's just got to make sure that he doesn't conspicuously screw up something at a point where he'd be vulnerable. Yeah, he'll go far.
All right. Let's take a question here from Millennial Max, who wants to know about how much the new tiebreaker rule is factoring into things.
Hey, Rob and Jessica. This is Millennial Max from Michigan. So it's been discussed on this podcast how an extra vote is rarely useful. It's really only useful to break a tie. But with the new tiebreaker rules this season, now an extra vote can also force a tie. So if it's four votes going this way, three that way, you can even it up 4-4, and it will immediately go to rocks. I think this makes it much more powerful and much more likely to be played correctly. What do you think?
Jess, more or less powerful now, the extra vote?
Well, I think the extra vote has just kind of gotten used in bad ways up until this point. Like, I think in the hands of the right person who knows what they're doing with it and has people on their side, I don't think the extra vote is a non-starter to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
So I think in this scenario,
is Debbie that right person?
Well, there's that. I think Debbie could certainly be manipulated to be the right person. If someone finds out she has that extra vote, they could probably use it and her to their advantage for at least one tribal council.
But is Debbie going to trust somebody enough to reveal that she has that?
Somebody could find out accidentally.
What, like find it in her bag?
Find it in her bag, or kind of coax it out of her talking about this amazing party she had on a yacht with Cochrane.
Mm-hmm. Although if she tells people she didn't have that great of a time, but she got an advantage, like I feel like it sort of like pokes a hole in her story.
Yeah, it might. I think there's a lot of ifs in this scenario. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a lot of ifs applied to like making this extra vote a powerful thing.
Denise Stapley said there was a 10% chance that we were going to see Debbie play the extra vote correctly. Are you over or under?
I'm over. I think she's got a better chance of playing it correctly than like Dan.
Okay. So, I mean, it's hard to take the under on 10%.
Yeah, I think it's pretty hard. That's like Price is Right gambling. But I think there's also, do they go directly to rocks? Are like, oh, it's a tie, now it's time to break out the rocks? Or isn't there another step in between that? I know that they've taken out the part where they re-vote.
Right, there is another step.
Don't they have to all speak to each other and say, you know, like try to come to a unanimous decision about who's going to get voted out? So there's some wiggle room in there that I don't really think.
Always wiggle room.
I love me some wiggle room.
Yeah, especially on Mondays. So you think that she could put her extra vote in there to force a tie or to make sure that it is not going to be a tie?
I think if she puts that extra vote there to force a tie with these new rules in place, I think all of a sudden it becomes much easier to reach a unanimous decision because it's not really a real tie with real people tied.
Okay, so let's just play this out. Let's put a real situation there. Okay, so let's say in this group that she's in. Okay, so she's in a tribe of six. Okay, she could. That's still not enough. She couldn't get it to seven. She'd have to be in some sort of like odd. Like, let's say if. One person got voted out. Like, let's say the tribe decided to vote out Jeff Varner, and then everybody from the other original Nuku people, those four, they were going to vote against her. And then if she got like tied a vote with her and then put another vote and then played her extra vote, she'd be able to force a 3-3 tie. But again, that's a, you know, tall order for tie to do.
Yeah. And then all they have to do then,
I guess,
is
he could play one of his idols and then like, I'll be safe. I don't care.
Yeah, basically.
That's actually a good scenario where you could potentially see if it was going to happen that way. Ty playing one of his idols and then Debbie saying, "Eh, what the hell? Let me force a tie." Then, you know, these, as long as Ty doesn't say I'm part of the unanimous vote to get rid of Debbie now, then they could all move on.
Yeah, but what are the odds that Ty is not going to do
that? Yeah, that he has been known to change his mind on things.
He's a capricious soul. Is Ty.
Yeah. He goes with the flow. So we'll see. We'll see if that's the case. All right. Speaking of Ty, here's a question from Scott from New Jersey for you, Jess.
This is Scott from New Jersey. What is that thing on Ty's yellow shirt?
Okay, Jess. Earlier tonight, I sent you a visual aid which showed this new tribe standing on their mat. Ty is wearing a yellow shirt. Are you able to take a look at this and zoom in on what's going on here?
I'm looking at this. This is like a trilobite with human hands and a pig face and a very long tail.
Yes. Can you explain what is a trilobite?
It's a prehistoric creature, like you find them in fossils a lot.
Yeah.
It's a multi-legged prehistoric creature. It looks to me like something out of like a Hieronymus Bosch painting.
So does this mean anything to you? What is it? What are we looking at here?
Well, it's an animal of some sort, and Ty really likes animals.
Yes.
And it's got many arms symbolizing reaching out in friendship to everybody.
Is that what it is?
I'm making this up, Rob.
Yes.
Your guess is as good as mine.
It has 12 arms. It's sort of like it starts off with like a football, and then it has 12 arms, and then sort of like, I don't know, would you call that a cross across it, but not necessarily like a crucifix?
Yeah, and it almost looks like there's another face coming out the butt.
Hmm, right. Then there's a face. It's definitely like some sort of a fish. And then there's a long tail like a lion.
Yeah, yeah. It's almost like there's also little details on it that are like other body parts. It's almost like the end of Akira.
So is there any symbolism here that you say that Ty is opening up his hands to everybody? Will Ty give more idols away?
Yeah, maybe each one of those arms symbolizes an idol that Ty is going to find in the game.
One idol that Ty finds along the way this season.
Yes.
Okay.
And so we can cross off like three of those already.
All right. So we'll see if we can ever get an answer in terms of what that actually is. Let's go to Danny from the Bay. He has a question about Suri and how she's avoided tribal council all season.
Hey, Rob and Jessica, this is Danny. After this last tribe swap, there's only one person that has won every immunity and has not gone to tribal council at all this season. The challenge beast, Suri Fields. Is this a fluke or is she a sneaky good team challenge player with the puzzles? Thank you.
All right, Jess, how much credit do we give to Suri for all of her tribes avoiding tribal council versus how much did Suri get lucky here throughout how many days of Survivor? 16 days.
Yeah. Well, Rob, this is not a statement on Suri's puzzle performance in any way, shape or form, because she is very, very good at that. But everybody that gets as far as they get in Survivor gets there because of luck.
Everybody.
Everybody. Everybody in this game, there's not a single person who's ever played Survivor that has not had luck have a hand in what they're doing.
I asked Sandra this question today on the Survivor Facebook Live, and we talked about how much of the game is luck. Do you have a percentage?
I don't have a percentage because I've never played.
Higher or lower than the Debbie 10%?
It's higher than 10%.
Okay, that makes sense.
I don't think there's really any game you can play that luck doesn't play some part in.
Yes. Okay, so do you think it's higher or lower than Sanders 50%?
50% sounds about right to me.
50% of the game is luck. Boy, I feel like it's somewhere between 30 and 50. 50 sounds high.
Yeah, okay.
If it was 50% luck, then if we go back and say 50% of the winners were just people who were lucky. And I don't think that that's necessarily the case.
No, that's not the case, but
you have to be lucky and you have to be good. So it can't just say that like 50% of the game is luck.
Well, this is a glass half full, glass half empty thing, Rob. Everybody that has won the game has had something go their way at some point.
Right.
Where if that thing did not go their way, they would not be at the end.
Yes,
that's true for everybody that's gotten to the end.
Right.
And I don't think that necessarily, like saying that the game is 50% luck is not the same thing as saying that 50% of the people that have won just got lucky. I think 100% of the people that won got lucky at some point.
Right. Okay, that is fair. But that I feel like that if it was 50%, though, that you would see more people who won just by being lucky, only being lucky. And I feel like that the number of people who won by only being lucky is probably closer to like 10%.
If that.
Yeah.
Like I think the opposite number of that is I think everyone that's won the game has done something to win the game.
Okay, but in terms of that winning percentage, how much of it was luck? I'm going to stick with 70-30.
Okay. All right, that's a little more conservative than I'm willing to go, but I've also not been there.
Yeah, I just think you have to also be good. You have to, you know, you need to have luck on your side, but you also have to be good.
Of course you do.
Yeah. 50% means that I feel like there's some people that are slipping through the cracks that were just lucky and not good.
Yeah, but I think it's really, really hard to be so lucky that you end up winning the whole damn game.
Mm-hmm. You'd be really lucky. Okay.
That's really, really lucky.
All right.
That's more than 50%.
All right. So let me ask you this question. This is about our friend Jeff Varner, and this is from Chris, who is concerned for Jeff.
Hey, Rob, it's Chris from Mississippi. This is the second time in 16 days that Jeff Varner's referenced shitting in his pants. Do we need to be concerned for him? Thanks.
2 weeks ago, Jess, we heard Jeff Varner talk about that he was concerned about soiling himself if Sierra Dawn Thomas played an idol. Now, on the latest episode of Survivor, Jeff Varner told this to Zeke.
When I drew the minority buff yesterday, I kind of took my pants off.
So this is very top of mind for Jeff Varner.
You know, I'd be a little worried, like someone's talking about poop that much, like they need to call medical in.
Should we be concerned that Jeff Varner is suffering from severe gastrointestinal distress? Hashtag severe gastrointestinal distress.
Yeah, I mean, we don't want him going that. We don't want him going the way of Steven. And we also don't want him going the way of like a Joe or like a Bruce Canna guy.
What just bit my ass?
Yeah.
Or maybe it's just one of those things, like when most people are on Survivor, all they can talk about is food.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe this is just some like sub manifestation of that.
Jeff Varner, yeah, very preoccupied with, you know, accidentally going to the bathroom on Survivor.
Yeah. And, you know, I know we don't like to reference other podcasts here, but all I can hear Survivor historians doing their impression of the doctor in Exile Island asking Bruce if he can poop.
Yes. Okay.
Can you poop, mate?
Jeff Varner seems that he can. It seems like it's not an issue for him. He's not going to get Bruce Kenna guide out of this game.
Well, good for him.
Yeah. Okay. Why don't we go back to this question from Nwando? Let me take your temperature on the number of twists going on here in Survivor Game Changers.
Hello there, Rob. This is Wando from Maryland. So for the past month, we have been watching Survivor Game Changers, but I'm starting to wonder if it should be called Survivor get ready for a takeover. What? Oh my God, everyone's loving him now. I mean, I love Cochran and all, but do we need Cochran and another advantage and survivor equivalent of Pandora's box in the tug of war? Malcolm went home. I mean, did Allison Gardner guest produce this season or something? Do we like this? Do we hate this? What do you think?
Jess, what do you think of the twistiest Survivor season of all time?
Are we getting the Twistos twist every week?
Yes.
Honestly, I think if you call it Game Changers, you better be prepared for the game to change a lot.
Do you think that this is the first step in Survivor becoming even twistier, or was this a twisty season designed to throw the returning players off the mark?
I think it was mostly designed that way to keep the returning players on their toes. And I think you really do have to do that. But I also think there's going to be a threshold past which you can't get any twistier, because the more convoluted the game is, that's when you start to lose viewers.
Yeah. You think a simple game is where the viewers like to be, the casuals?
Yeah. I think most Survivor viewers, if we're looking at the pool of all of them, I think it's safe to say most of them wouldn't be able to sit through the genius.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that they don't want it to be too complicated. But, you know, it is also, people do like to see the big moves happen. So I guess the thinking is the more sort of like weapons that you put out there, the more likely that we are to see some sort of a big blindside and a big move.
Yeah, but then you also get to the mutually assured destruction point where you have so many big potentially game-changing weapons that nobody wants to do anything with them for fear of retaliation.
Okay, so this is sort of like the plot of War Games?
Yeah, sort of.
Yeah. So, okay, so you think that we are reached the point in Survivor where we're headed towards some sort of like Survivor Cold War, where nobody is willing to make a big move for fear of a massive retaliation from the other side?
Yeah, if you throw too many big advantages into the game, you could absolutely reach that point.
Okay, this is an interesting theory.
I was an American history major. What can I say?
Okay. All right, Jess, why don't we take this question from Matthew Wojcis, who was very nice, who gave me a Christmas in the Fishbowl CD back at the live know-it-alls that I may, if somebody really makes me mad, one of the listeners, I'm going to send it to them. Here is a question from Matt.
Hey, Jess, Matt Wojcis here, coming to you directly from your east in Long Island. I was just wondering if you could have any former Amazing Racer come and visit you and give you advice as part of a reward for winning a leg of the race. Which one do you feel would be the most beneficial, especially when you're racing with a complete stranger? Love you, Bay.
Is there an Amazing Racer, Jess, that you would like to have come visit you?
I think these are two separate questions. Like, in the context of, like, I'm in the Amazing Race and I have a partner who's a stranger and we've just won a leg and we're getting advice from somebody, that list is different from people I'd like to just come over to my house.
Okay. So what are the answers to both ends?
I think you really, the person you want to get racing advice from is probably, you want to get Green Team Justin, who's seen every episode 3 times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think the person you want to hang out with and drink, I think you want Team Guido to come over and drink with you.
I guess it depends what you're drinking, though, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm usually drinking wine, so I think that works out well.
All right, let me ask you one more question, a similar subject. This is from Felipe.
Hey, Rob and Jess, this is Felipe from Boston, and I just wanted to know which Game Changers would be the best blind date Amazing Race team, and why is it Sandra and Tony? Okay, thanks. Have a nice day. Bye.
Okay, Jess, if we were going to set up 2 survivors to go on Amazing Race Perfect Strangers, who would you pick and why? Is it Sandra and Tony?
I think Sandra and Tony is probably the best television, but are we allowed to pick Cochran and Debbie?
Yeah, Cochran and Debbie would be really good. And they're like one of these matches that's like on the actual Amazing Race season where it's like they have nothing in common. You think they're going to hate each other. And it's like, oh, I really love my partner. They are the team fun, I think, of Survivor.
I can't argue with that. And we've been having a very fun Twitter thread all afternoon about what that would be like.
The Cochran and Debbie on the Amazing Race?
Yeah, Cochran and Debbie on the Amazing Race. It would be Debbie insisting that she has the life experience necessary to tackle all of the roadblocks.
I think that that would be really fun. I mean, Cochran really was very taken with Debbie. I'm not talking like romantically or anything, but yeah, he was saying on Twitter about how he really enjoyed his time with her. He had tweeted out, we'll get to the social media in a second. He said, for the record, Debbie was totally sweet and charming and self-aware and fun to talk to. No spontaneous push-ups even.
I think he's just glad he didn't get stuck with Ozzy.
I think that was a best case scenario for Cochran. All right. So, Jess, are you ready to talk about what's going on in the world of Survivor social media?
Always.
Okay. Take it away, Ryan Elder.
Tweets, baby, tweets. Survivor tweets. They're better than having tribal right there on the beach. Tweets.
So Ryan Elder did not have a tweet segment jingle, so this is the one from the last time you were on the podcast.
They were gonna have
tribal council right on the beach and then vote out Alicia, but they decided to actually have a tribal council.
Good times, Rob.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a flashback. All right, so let's get into the Survivor social media. A lot of reactions to everything going on with Sandra going out. Sandra herself said, I needed Exile Island bad. I would have settled for the Mana tribe. Either would have been better.
That's something I would have liked to seen, too, like the Sandra Cochran yacht date.
I mean, that would have been good. Sandra is very fond of Cochran. Unlike me, she's very fond, and I'm very fond of Cochran. And Sandra's not very fond of me anymore.
Well, that's not your fault.
Yeah. I mean, I have to take some accountability, but yeah, I don't know. I don't know what I did. Michaela, at the Michaela B, she had a lot to say this week. She also tweeted out, I'm pouring out some liquor for the queen tonight, hashtag Queen Sandra.
As were we all.
Yes, okay. Malcolm, at Malcolm WHW, says, because it's funnier than the actual game, by this time on Survivor, Tony had already broken Caleb's pinky playing football at Ponderosa.
This is a reality show that I want. I want to be a fly on the wall when they take their trip.
I don't think they were on the trip yet, assuming they waited for the whole pre-jury to come. But you would like to see the interaction between Malcolm and Tony in Beast Mode Cowboy.
Yeah, exactly. Like it used to be the person that would take the pre-jury people on their trip. Maybe it still is Jody Winchesky, former Amazing Race contestant, now works for casting. And she used to post to her Facebook lots and lots of pictures from these trips. So I'm going to keep my eye out and see if she was that person this time.
Yeah, they do switch up who has that. Like, I think there's a high burnout factor for that job. It's very hard to wrangle these pre-jury Survivor contestants. But I love the idea of Caleb, go long. I'll hit you with a pass. All right. Cochran, he tweeted out, what are we calling this twist? Dorcas Ex Machina or the 15th minute?
At least he didn't call it the 16th minute.
Okay.
I think that would have been meaner.
Okay. Randy Bailey, Randy, if you're listening to this again, very sorry about last week. He said, I hate anyone who ever had a pony growing up. Hashtag Manya. Hashtag Seinfeld. I was thinking the same thing when Debbie said this.
You know, as a youth, I went off on my own a lot with a pony. I'm sure there's not a pony on Exile Island.
What was with Debbie talking about ponies on Exile Island?
Well, she wanted to make sure everyone knew she had a pony growing up.
I mean, what is this, a humble brag, Debbie?
Yeah, well, Debbie is like the queen of the humble brags.
Yeah.
And the queen stays queen.
The queen stays queen. She's not even like humble in the humble brag.
Yeah, well, that takes a little bit of work.
Yeah. At Nick Majorano said, what the hell is with all those kisses from Debbie? Cochran's a dead man.
Is she poisonous?
No, that I think that Nick is claiming that I guess that Debbie is his woman.
Oh, I see. Yeah, if I was Nick, I'd be a little bit worried.
Yeah, Nick is really that he's, you know, wants Josh Wiggler, all of these different Survivor women that he's really like trying to build a whole harem.
This is this is a good selling point if you're ever trying to recruit more Survivor bloggers, because look where it can take you.
Yeah, look where it can take Nick Majorano. So many romantic possibilities. Okay, this is from at Sophie Clark, the shoes on the other foot. She says, at Cochran, aw, bae, you going on dates without me? Yeah.
Boy, I I feel like this is a double date I want to see now.
What? You want to see Nick Majorano and Sophie go on a double date with Debbie and Cochran?
Totally.
Yeah. All right. Candace Cody, another one of my guests from last week, she said, okay, why couldn't Jeff Probst have come up with the idea for this exile on any of my seasons?
Well, who would she want to see?
What person? Well, not JT, I could tell you from that.
Yeah, and it's probably going to be the person you least want to see, so.
And maybe Brad Culpepper.
That would have been amazing television.
Yeah. All right. Penner was back live tweeting the show. He tweeted out, Troyzan, he's a man and I'm a man. Women are bamboozlers. Most guys think that this is the story of their life.
He's also a man and I'm a man. And we're the only two men on the tribe.
Yeah. Brad Culpepper has got a head count.
Well, I mean, well spotted, I guess.
Yeah. He's not wrong. He's not wrong.
He's not wrong.
That
yeah.
Culpepper math is solid.
That is true. There are two men. One and one is two. And yeah, that's... Yeah, and they, you know, they didn't even address the elephant in the room that they're both people that America failed to vote back into the game.
Yeah, they do have that in common. Penner also said, Ty, is that an idol in your pocket or are you just glad to see me? He's fantastic.
Penner also had a bunch of tweets about your impression of him.
Well, we can get to that. Penner also said, exile as heaven. Apparently, she went back and told everyone she had no food or water. I don't know who Penner's sources are on this.
Well, he's a very connected guy.
He is a connected guy. He also says, Cochran returns to eat with Debbie. Sorry, but this ain't exciting. Bachelor anyone? And now she has an advantage? Incredible. So Penner did not like this twist.
Oh, well, if Penner doesn't like something, he lets you know.
He also said, Ty is going bananas. If Sandra pulls this out, it'll be amazing, but I assume no. I like when he talks about what's happening, but probably not.
It's better than a Rupert tweet.
Yeah. Oh, very good. And then also then, Penner, this is what you're referencing. So he talks about how Rob sounds like me, like I sound like Alan Alda.
It's true.
Yeah. Because somebody had written, this is from @L_Ramon said, it's come to the point where I can't even read Penner's tweets without hearing @RobSesternino's impression. And then Jim Van Nest said, this needs to be settled. You and Rob Sesternino need to read lines spoken by Alan Alda to see who can pick who said it. And Penner respond, I'm game. @RobSesternino will never go for it, though. He knows he sounds like a high school performance of Grease. I don't even know what that means.
Alan Alda was in Grease?
I don't even know. Yeah. I got chills. They're multiplying. And I'm losing control. Tell me more. Tell me more. Like, did Debbie tell everyone that she went back and had a very bad time?
So wait, what I hear you saying, Rob, is that you are game and you'll do this anytime.
I mean, if somebody's going to put together a list of Alan Alda quotes, and I mean, I think it'd be easy to tell, unless me and Penner are in the same room, you know, who's on the phone and who's not. I mean, we can do that next time Penner is on the podcast. I am very willing to. Here's a list of Alan Alda quotes and then see who, if people could tell who's saying the Alan Alda quotes.
Can we get the actual...
It's a very specific game.
Can we get the actual Alan Alda in on this? I feel like that's the only thing that'll make it more specific.
Yeah. We should get Alan Alda, and then we should all do a Penner impression.
Exactly. Like, one of them will just be, like, Alan Alda reading something.
Yeah.
And then one will be Penner, and one will be you doing Penner. And then we have to... You know, it's the new Rupert tweet game. You have to identify which
one
is
which. Who? Okay, that was Penner doing an impression of Rob. That was Alan Alda doing Penner. That was Rob doing an impression of Alan Alda. Hey, Shane Powers said, wait, what on earth is happening? Survivor Yoda, this is ridiculous, @JohnMCochran. I told Cochran today that Shane called him Survivor Yoda.
Well, I'm saying Survivor Jedi Council. Mm. This has legs.
advantage you seek, Debbie.
Legs this has.
Eight pack you have.
And I'm pet.
Anger. It says. Poor Debbie. Poor Debbie.
Aww. And you crushed my heart.
The chosen one you were. Okay. Eliza. She comments as well on that Brad Culpepper quote that we just played. She said, he's a man and I'm a man, parentheses, and we're better than women, ... subtext. Is this the old Brad Culpepper back, or is this just more strategy?
He's also a man and I'm a man, and we're the only two men on the tribe.
What do you think? Is this the old Brad Culpepper back, or is this strategy?
I think this is strategy. I didn't love Brad Culpepper his first time out, but I like him a little bit better. He clearly has more strategic chops than he was able to show his first time out.
Yeah.
And I don't love the he's a man and I'm a man. He's kind of grasping at straws here. He's trying to find any common ground he can. And let's look at that. Look at that. We both got junk. All right.
Yeah. And from what Malcolm says, that is a underreported story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Eliza, all caps, exile is a yacht. What? Period. The period F word. Eliza gets so indignant when the survivors get something.
She's very easily shocked, I feel like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Will Wall at Window to Wall says, find a girl that looks at you the way that Debbie looks at Cochran.
Yeah, that's survivor goals.
Yeah. Russell Hance, that he was really tweeting with glee last night. He tweeted out, Sandra was finally playing the game. And that's what happens when she does. Sandra, you need to go back to as long as it ain't me. Works better.
And Sandra tweeted back, presumably, at least I didn't cry when I got voted out.
No, she did not. But then they did have an interaction on Twitter. Russell Hance, yes, tweeted out, too bad she couldn't lose a few more pounds. Which, again, Russell has been beating this drum all season long. Sandra responded to that and said, it's sad that you mention me on a daily basis. I spend little to no time thinking about you, Russell. A burn.
It's a pretty like sick that burn.
Hat. Yeah, like Russell's hat.
Yes.
And Russell says, the queen didn't play. That would be at Poverty Shallow.
Okay, Russell. Everybody cares what you think.
All right. Julia Sokolowski, she tweeted out, I had said earlier in the night that somewhere Julia Sokolowski is seething. She said, I actually missed tonight's episode, but based on all the Twitter support I've been receiving tonight, probably not going to watch it. Hashtag still salty.
It's rough. Like, Julia had a rough time out there.
She did. She also had a cake dropped on her at some point. Jervis tweeted out, did Debbie just try to tongue kiss Cochran? Ew. I don't think she did that.
No, she was not using tongue. She was just like throwing kisses all over his head.
Yes. Okay. Young Woo 23 tweeted out, John Cochran, LOL, Exile Island, not too shabby. So Woo was down with this.
Well, Woo is pretty easygoing guy. I think he's down with pretty much everything.
Yeah. T-Bird was back tweeting this week. At T-Bird Cooper, she tweeted, game changer at Tatray SF Idolmania.
How many exclamation points did that have?
I believe there was only three. Only three.
Only three.
Only three on that. She wasn't that excited. And she also gave a honor to Sandra. All stand while the queen, Sandra Diaz-Twine, makes her exit. She most definitely deserves our respect. She is and will always be the queen. Long live the queen.
Long live the queen.
Yeah. And Jess, I have some good news for you.
Oh, boy.
Rupert was back tweeting last night.
Yes.
Tweets, baby, tweets, Rupert. Tweets that are better than something that happened on Survivor. Rupert tweets.
Okay, Jess. So Rupert was back at it. No movement on when Rupert wanted to come on the podcast and play the Rupert tweets game. But I do have for you three real tweets from Rupert and one fake tweet from the Rupert bot. I guess it was a real tweet from the Rupert bot.
Yeah, I mean, the Rupert bot really tweets.
Yes. Yes, he does. Okay. So here we go. Here is number one. Tweet number one is, that's okay. Sandra doesn't tank well with challenges anyway. Okay, that's number one.
Okay.
Number two, easiest survivor ever. Number three, one isn't good enough for you. Okay. And number four, okay, it's always nice for the first few minutes. And then the game starts.
And these are all this week.
Yes.
And three of them are actual tweets tweeted by Rupert, and one is the Rupert bot.
Yes. Yes. Talk us through. Talk us through what you're thinking, Jess.
Because every single one of these tweets sounds like it was created by a neural network.
Yes. Well, that the Rupert bot just grows smarter and smarter every week.
Yeah, it's true. Like I've enjoyed watching Rupert bot grow up.
Yeah. Eventually, Twitter is going to be overtaken by robots. Like that's going to be the first frontier of the robots taking over. They're just going to take over social media and then they're just going to be tweeting to each other.
Yeah. Hashtag survivor singularity.
Right. They'll just be like retweeting like really funny, like anti-human memes and stuff like that. And just going back and forth. And then Twitter is going to try to shut it down, but they won't be able to.
Yeah, it's true. The robots are becoming more and more powerful.
That's going to be the first frontier. You know,
well, I, for one, welcome our new robot overlords.
Yes. I've always spoken highly of them.
Yes. So,
okay.
You know, don't make fun of me on Twitter, robots.
Yes. And if you do, I mean, that's, you know, I guess that's freedom of speech, but.
Does it apply to robots, though?
Of course it does, Jess.
Okay. Okay. Just
wait, what do you want to get on their bad side?
I don't want to piss off the robots.
Yeah.
Okay. So read me that first one again. The one about tanking.
Yes. That's okay. Sandra doesn't tank well with challenges anyways.
What does that even mean? I feel like that seems the most like a human didn't write it.
Mm-hmm.
And what was the third one again?
One isn't good enough for you.
One isn't good enough for you. That is a human tweet.
Mm-hmm.
Like that is in reference to Ty finding the second idol, I would guess.
Or it was in reference to the number of men in Brad Culpepper's tribe.
He's also a man, and I'm a man, and we're the only two men on the tribe.
Yeah.
Well, nobody's perfect. Yeah, I'm going with the tanking one because that doesn't even make any freaking sense to me.
Ka-ching, ka-ching.
Yes, good work.
Yes.
Good work. Sometimes the Rupert bot will take a tweet that Rupert actually made and switch some things around. Rupert actually did tweet, that's okay. Debbie doesn't bond well with others anyways. So sometimes that he will learn from something Rupert said, but then switch around like people and verbs and stuff like that. So he is trying to make his tweets even more lifelike.
Yeah, well, I'm glad that I can tell the difference between a human and a robot.
Yes, you can
that
still.
That should serve me well in the robot apocalypse.
Okay. Jess, what is the hashtag here today?
Gosh, Rob, is there something about your upcoming pen or death match?
Yes, I would like to call it Survivor Know It Alda.
Love it. Is that too long for a hashtag?
I don't think so. I think anybody that wants to use that can figure out a way to make it work.
Yeah, I mean, nowadays you don't have to include the character count of the people you're replying to, so everybody's got plenty of room.
Yeah, we got extra characters for that, for the Survivor Know It All the showdown. All right, Jess, well, this was so nice to go back through the Survivor voicemails once again. Of course, you and I will be reunited once again to talk about the Amazing Race this week on the Reality TV Wrap-Ups / Amazing Race podcast feed.
Very excited for that. I think it's going to be a good one.
Okay. So looking forward to that. Of course, you could follow the great Jessica Leese on social media, whether you are a human or a robot. She does not discriminate. She is at Haymaker Hattie on Twitter. Anything else, Jess?
I think that just about covers it.
Okay. Anything else you want to tell people to check out online?
I would say check out my Survivor and Amazing Race recaps over at previously.tv. It's some good stuff.
Okay. What did you rate this week's Survivor?
I rated it a skip only because I felt like Sandra deserved better. But, you know, overall, there was some really watchable stuff this episode. Okay.
Are you still recapping Designated Survivor?
I filled in on Designated Survivor last week for one episode. I was like the Designated Survivor of the Designated Survivor recap. But I am not going to be doing that one on the regular. Yes.
Did you recap all of Fuller House?
I did three episodes of Fuller House. How was that? That was about too many.
too many. Okay. All right, Jess. Well, looking forward to connecting again for Amazing Race, and have a good one, okay?
All right.
Take care. All right, everybody, there you have it. Jessica Leese back here to take your voicemails and talk through all the Survivor social media once again on the podcast. All right, so coming up at the start of the week, I told you before, Josh Wiggler will be back. We will talk through everything in the return of the Wiggle Room after last week's conversation with Reynold Topher in that spot. And then David Bloomberg and I will get into why Sandra lost. That's one that you're not going to want to miss as we go through Sandra 3.0's game. And then, of course, we'll do it all over again with the know-it-alls and all of our Survivor podcasts once again. So be on the lookout for that. Plus my Amazing Race wrap up with Jessica Leese. I've also got an exit interview with the latest Big Brother Canada castaway, all on robhasawebsite.com. Plus Antonio Mazzaro and I are going to be getting back into recapping Better Call Saul over on our scripted TV podcast, Post Show Recap. So be on the lookout for that over on postshowrecaps.com. You can subscribe to that podcast at postshowrecaps.com/iTunes. And finally, many thanks to our patrons who send in so many questions and voicemails and contribute so much to the show week after week. Without you guys, there would be no Rob Has a Podcast. So thanks for all of the many, many contributions in all sorts of different ways that you guys make to all of this content. To find out more about the benefits of becoming a patron, you can go to robhasawebsite.com/patron. Looking forward to getting into it with Josh Wiggler coming up next. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.